This is Remembrance with Kyron Yang. I'm a spiritual health practitioner and an astrologer. Join me on this journey of know thyself, love thyself, heal thyself. Let's get into the episode. So today I want to talk about astrology and how astrology have been a tool or a map or something that came to my life, maybe by chance or maybe by meaningful coincidence, to initiate me into this journey of remembrance. Today, Norman is not with me, and this is my first solo episode of this podcast. I hope that, you know, the listeners tuning in could really dive deep with me into a topic that I'm passionate in my life and had been a lifelong study for me. And I have been studying astrology for the last 10 to 15 years. And yet, I still find new things to understand. New insights just come through me. It kind of helped me frame and understand the world better, because there isn't really a tool or a manual per se about what it means or how to live a fulfilling and beautiful life. It seems like there's so many dogma, whether it's our culture or tradition or our religion, and it seems like there's all these rules that we have to adhere to that we don't resonate, because these rules apparently were created hundreds and years ago, and if not thousand years ago. And sometimes I find those things that have been created for the culture and the time of history at that time may not be relevant today, but it's still being practiced today as if we're still living in an era 2000 years ago or 100 years ago, when the demands, the technology, the experience of being human is completely different from then. So what astrology helped me to do instead was able to understand the consciousness of our time and the evolution behind it, the understanding behind it, and how to grow, where to grow, how to grow, where to go, and basically give me this understanding that there's a North Star in life and there's a direction that we're going towards on the existential level, on a physical level as well. Not just individually, but also collectively. So let me just start by telling a story of how I have come across astrology. I was 21 years old, and basically at the time I was studying at Imperial College of London, and it basically took me a lot of hours and hard work to complete my A-levels with high distinction, high grades, to apply to this school. And at that time, I wanted to do medicine, but I did not have the criteria to fulfill the needs and requirements to apply to for medical school at the time. Instead of choosing what I wanted or following my desire, my passion at that time, I stick to what I'm good at. What I was good at was math and science, particularly math. That's why I've ended up applying for a math major, a math degree in Imperial College. So I thought that might be interesting. And when I went there, instead of going to lectures and being so passionate about math, you know, being someone who's 21 years old, somewhat an adult, but not really, I kind of, you know, instead of really going to the lecture halls and being so attentive to my studies, I ended up not partying. Yeah. I ended up following a different passion, which is at that time was dance. And I realized through dance, I found that I was so much more alive, so much more happy, so much more fulfilled. And each growth and learning that I found was more deeply fulfilling than the pursuits of my academics. So all along throughout my life, I had been so good at my academics that I did not feel much fulfillment or happiness when I actually achieve it. Instead of like something that means something to me, it was more like a responsibility or an expectation that I had to fulfill growing up as a Chinese Malaysian person, having this, you know, responsibility to get good grades. And I remember my dad telling me when I was a kid that, hey, you know, my responsibility to you is going out to work and earn money so that you can fulfill your personal responsibility of doing well in your education, and one day you're going to do what I do and do the same thing for your kids. And at that time, I was like, oh, okay, this is how life works. All right, let's do my best with love, with dedication, and fulfill this responsibility. By the time when I was in Imperial College, all of this just went down the drain, and I felt like that narrative just doesn't hold anymore. Instead, I started asking, like, shit, why am I here? And why is everybody pursuing this? Some form of recognition from good schools and prestigious universities when no one really care about their academics or education. Because when I was there, you know, being a freshman and just noticing what freshmen are doing, no one really cares about attending lectures. Everyone was just about passing quizzes, the test, just so that they have enough to go by and proceed to the next year. And when I spoke to my senior, the same thing, the same habits and practices were adopted. And basically, people were just, how do I call this? Skimming through their university years just so that they could get a paper and a degree from these prestigious universities. And it's like a, you know, a stamp of approval that, hey, you have done something amazing and here is your ticket to better jobs, better opportunities, and better pay. That was as far as the motivation of people, and the way I saw people attending lectures is that no one really care. And this is not just what the students were practicing, right? The environment of it is not just the students. It's also the teachers, the professors, the PhD students that were supposed to mentor us. It felt like no one really cared about education and everyone was just there to fulfill or complete a self-serving purpose of like maybe having more grant for research or maybe more pay. Or maybe just, you know, trying to get out of that desire to teach and elevate people's knowledge and consciousness and having the passion of that subject. Yeah, instead of that, it's more of like, you know, this is just a responsibility and let me just get by all of this. So that was my experience, and I felt like, you know, something is missing. And to me at the time, I was thinking, I was like, okay, how is this a world-class education? I don't feel like I was educated. I don't feel like, you know, I was taken care of and everybody was just kind of like disconnected and aloof and everybody just having their own agenda. And rather than cultivating a community of scholars, we were cultivating disconnection where people were either out late partying or in their own lives or being in a lecture hall half asleep. Sometimes the students, sometimes the professor, and, you know, which creates this, I don't know, collective energy of like, no one cares. So at the time, I was just trying to fit myself in and trying to survive and trying to make this happen. And what ended up happening was one day during a mid-semester test or quiz on my way to school, I felt kind of depressed. And when I was in the quiz room, I had this minor panic attack that led me down to this experience of a minor psychosis where I felt, you know, I had cold sweat, I was a little jittery, and the paper right in front of me, which is the quiz, confronted me. Do you really want to do this? I was looking at math equations and I didn't know how to answer them. And I was just like, wow, maybe this isn't for me. I was so called to get out of that space. And there was this transition point of like, a real truth question that a part of my soul was asking me, do you want to live this life this way? Or if you choose to continue this, to complete this quiz, you might go down a road that you will never ever are able to turn back. So what happened was that I froze for that 1 hour in that quiz room, but what was an hour felt like 5 minutes. And I ended up handing an empty paper, and right away I walked out of that door, decided to walk from the west side of London to the east side of London, basically from South Kensington to Canary Wharf. That was London. And just to give a little bit of context for those of you who are not, have never been to London and doesn't know this place, is that distance took about 4 or 5 hours of walking. So I spent my entire afternoon, rather than taking the underground train, I basically walked. It was a nice walk, but it was like a breath of fresh air because I finally gave myself a chance to have that space to really reconsider who I am, where I'm going, and what I'm supposed to do. You know, lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, I dropped out of the college and I was on my way into my first gap year, and which allowed me so much space to reconsider and realign my choices. And I was lucky enough that my parents did not scold me or punish me for that, and instead actually, you know, care about me, that rather than killing myself from a mental breakdown or a stressful situation, they gave me space to really rethink many things. So what happened during this time was when astrology found me. My mom started to find herself in these spiritual retreats and workshops, and because she wanted to find answers about why she's living an unfulfilled life, just like how I was. And of course, there was this persistent quest to heal the mystery of my, at that time, this chronic autoimmune skin problem that was out of control. This was when I met the astrologer for the very first time. She basically gave me a reading, and I was just looking at the chart at that time. I think it was a 3-hour reading, and it was like a lot of information. At that time, in that 3 hours, when I was just looking at astrological chart, in that 3 hours, I memorized all the glyphs, all the signs, basically started to understand what and where the astrologer was pointing towards to. My experience at that time was like, wow, how is it possible that this person who doesn't know anything about me, never had a conversation with me, understood the depths of my soul, what I was thinking when I did not share any of my thoughts with anyone, including my parents? How was it possible that this person was able to speak into my inner world? I was astonished, surprised, and bewildered, if anything else, by what was being shared. And most of it, I felt coherent about what I was experiencing. Right away, I was just like, wow, what is this thing that was able to penetrate deep into someone's consciousness, psychology, and even have that solution as to why I was sick, as to why I had this autoimmune skin problem, as to why I had to drop out at that time, as to why that I, at the time, 21 years old, is now finding a new path, creating a new destiny. In the moment of the crossroad, I found a map that was able to show me possibilities, right? So rather than predicting what I was gonna become and what was predeterministic, instead of that, I was given a choice that there are a million possible ways to go about your life, and there is a way to live life more in alignment with the universal rhythm or the natural laws. I was fascinated by that because these are things that I don't learn from school, and it seems like this knowledge are able to help me answer the deepest pain, deepest chronic pain that I have, which is my skin problem. So I decided to put all my heart into this. Curiosity led me to different experiences, workshops, bookstores, where I flipped through so many astrological books at that time, Googled so many things, and whatever I got my hands on, I basically chew it up. again, I found myself in this space of deep study, deep education, something that I have forgotten over the years of my academic development, and only found that this had only happened when I was a child, flipping encyclopedias, learning about dinosaurs. So something deep within me rekindled at that time, and I was just telling myself, oh my God, I got to learn this art. I got to learn and understand what astrology meant to me. And at that time, learning about astrology, each step forward was a moment of remembrance of like more and more that I was able to grasp who I was authentically as I am, as a soul that is unique and special in a sense where I'm different from everybody else. At the same time, recognizing that there's uniqueness in every other being and every other individual as well. Rather than the carbon copy conditioned version of who I was and who other people were. And I realized that, wow, there is an essence that all of us are walking towards and wanting to become, just like the caterpillar wanting to become a butterfly, but doesn't know that it can be a butterfly. So similar to the path of that caterpillar, we are here to raise our consciousness, transform our limiting beliefs and self-sabotaging habits so that we create that conducive space, environment, and we nurture the deeper needs and of our soul so that the ego within us, the vehicle of our soul, can transform to become more and more of our essential self. And from that perspective, I found greater fulfillment, greater inner peace that is unconditional because we are already whole and complete to begin with. And I realized in this journey of remembrance, transforming my ego to my essence, more and more, what happened was I become healthier. My skin disease that was eating me up inside out at that time for a long time started to heal. And the more authentic I am to who I was and who I am, the depression was lifted. More happiness starts to come in, more fulfillment starts to come in, more possibilities and opportunities starts to come. And it seems like the universe, just like Paulo Coelho has said in the book Alchemist, the universe conspires to create what you truly desire. And what we truly desire is to become our essential self. Now, it's important to distinct the desire of the ego that is conditioned and limited. And these desires usually look like an external pursuit of money, status, wealth, relationships, you know, or traveling to many beautiful adventures with a bucket list that is impossible and never ending. That is desires that is there to, that is rather than fulfilling us from within, it is really avoidance of becoming our essential self. It is rather than freedom towards who we are supposed to be, we are moving towards the freedom from all of this. So there's an avoidance distracted version of who we are. And this seems normalized because that's how our fundamental society is functioning as a capitalistic society that is, you know, fueled by powerful technologies. We are stuck in that trance. And what I've realized that is that there's a deeper calling within each and every one of us. And it is usually called through certain health crisis, certain realization or shock events, as Norman puts it. We wake up to something that is more tangible, more permanent. The external pursuits, once it's done, once it's attained, the impermanence of it is just so quick that we drop into this space of emptiness and lack. You know, we go into a place of scarcity, and then not knowing that we have a different choice, we start to ask for more and do more, and to a point that we break down. It's interesting in that what happens is that in the process of breaking down, we realize that the external pursuits are not conducive, not skillful, not the right direction. Because what we actually want is to remember who we are, because who we are is already complete, full. Just like the seed has contained all the information it needs to become a powerful tree that knows how to bear fruits, to give and be in service of the world, in service of nature, to be in service of the circle of life, so that our meaning, of the very meaning of our existence, is fulfilled. And when that can happen, we are rewarded with so many things that is unconditional, like bliss, happiness just for the sake of it, simple pleasures of life, living in a moment where we feel the vividness of aliveness and we feel that we are thriving. We don't need experiences, material things to do that for us. We can just do that for ourselves. So in this perspective, this is what astrology has done for me. Astrology have showed me that there's a path towards this essence. And definitely, it's a gruesome path because it is not about avoiding pain, fear, or stress. Rather, it is moving towards it so that we discover the Dharma or the deeper purpose or the essence. It is kind of like unfortunate, but behind this unfortunate perspective, depending on how you see it, there is a blessing or a divine grace that says within your pain is your fulfillment. And when you can excavate and understand behind the deeper pain, you'll find the gem, the gold, and be truly free. I think in studying mythology and astrology, I've come to understand that the human experience is all about turning lead, which is the symbolism for suffering, pain, and turning lead into gold, which is our spiritual essence. We need that lead, we need that pressure, we need that stress, so that it can really activate the essence within us. And astrology is exactly that map of knowing how to do so. It shows us where the problem is, it shows us where we're stuck in our consciousness, where our limitations are, and then we can turn that limitations into possibilities and raise the vibration and consciousness so that we can finally get in touch with our gift, which is our essence. So I was very fortunate in my journey to have found evolutionary astrology. And evolutionary astrology is somewhat different from what we see on the horoscopes in the newspaper, or even traditional astrology where it's predictive, predeterministic. I think evolutionary astrology helps to look at the astrological chart, not just on a two-dimensional level, but on a third dimension where there is this possibility to transform what is so-called fated into our destiny through our free will. Let me unpack that a little bit. If we are asleep, unconscious, and unintentional about the way we are living life, we can basically track, based on our habits and behaviors, how it creates a loop of cause and effect, right? And we can basically predict certain things. We can, with certain behaviors, we can predict certain outcomes. For example, if we have a bad behavior of not wanting to exercise, and instead we go into the cupboard and grab that bag of chips and we eat to numb out certain emotions and to escape certain tension, the outcome of that is obvious. You don't need astrology to predict that. The outcome of that, if you do that for 1 week, 10 days, 2 weeks, 1 month, 3 months, and so on and so forth, we basically know what the outcome of that. It's just simple understanding of a cause and effect. Now, astrology are able to do that on a deeper level, on a more subtle subconscious level, where we can see the trauma, the conditionings, not just on your childhood conditioning, but of course, also on the past life conditioning, that really show you how and why that you meet certain circumstances, that you attract certain people, friends, because we are vibrating in a certain consciousness. So like attracts like, and then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. What we believe, what we think, translates to what we do and how we act and how we make choices, and that in return gives us certain feedback and consequences that comes with that. It's just like a no-brainer. So astrology is able to track that thing. Now, for most people in the past, you know, I'm talking about traditional astrology, many of the consciousness at that time require an understanding of the basic cause and effect, and there wasn't a lot of like information or books or the exposure of the secret teachings of the religion and mystery schools at that time. So most people are content with what's fated for them. But living in an era right now, we are so different. We are developing growth mindset. We want to transform and change who we are. We are in at the peak of our civilization where we are creating these beautiful, amazing technologies. But at the same time, what is unfortunate is that our inner technology or our consciousness to use those technology does not meet the external power that we have created. And because of that, we can find ourselves that our very own technology is killing us, just like our smartphones. Now, the point of using and sharing this story is that because our needs are different right now and because the way we think about life is different right now, hence the way astrology works is different. Rather than giving people predictive readings about this is what it is, and that is useful if people are unconscious and they don't have a free will to choose. They think they have a free will, but they don't because their subconscious habits overpower them. So they're not growing. So instead, you know, astrology is able to show them where they're stuck and give them this growth opportunity so that they can really change themselves and transform their life. That's where I feel astrology is most powerful. But as easily as, you know, making just or limiting astrology to just predicting people's fate, astrology can also use in a different way, in a growth mindset way, just like the way we use technology now and the way we use technology 2000 years ago is completely different. This is why I feel modern astrology, such as evolutionary astrology, are able to meet the needs of our time better than the traditional approaches. Not saying that the traditional techniques and approaches are bad or weak or irrelevant. It's just that it's still useful, but it requires a different context and different setting to be using them. For me, if I were to guide and help a person to transform and get out of their current situation, I will not teach them how to fix their life. Instead, I will teach them how to change themselves on the inside out so that they become a leader in the world that can really transform those circumstances. It's not about fixing anyone anymore. It's not about giving answers to anyone anymore. Instead, it's about helping that person build the skill to find their own answers, build the ability to make choices on their own rather than relying on some authority who has spiritual knowledge. And I think this is how I approach evolutionary astrology, is to show you your potential and what you can become and empower you to become a leader rather than being just a passive participant of life. I would like to just share a few core principles of evolutionary astrology so that we can build this tool or understanding of how this can potentially show you and guide you towards your path of remembrance or the path of self-actualization that eventually leads you to the place of healing. This is exactly the path of knowing yourself and then loving yourself so that the healing potential within you could just come through naturally and spontaneously. So the first principle that I want to share is that the universe is a conscious, intelligent, and ultimately a benevolent design that fosters evolution of consciousness. And we are here, basically, to evolve. That means, from this perspective, all the bad things, all the problems, all the things that seemingly that we don't like about living on Earth or our human experience have a reason to be there, has an intelligent design behind it. It's not a fluke. It's not random. It's not something that is there to, on purpose, victimize us, or we are not punished by this so-called almighty, ultimate God, right? We human is not flawed, but intentional to go through this experience so that we can finally and discover the greater truth of who we are, that is the essence of who we are, that we are powerful beyond measure and basically divine spiritual beings having this experience on Earth. Meaning I see evolutionary astrology sees that Earth is a school for the soul to evolve their consciousness. Which leads me to the second principle, is that nothing happens randomly in life. Nothing is just like, it's just a coincidence. Of course, many of us might have experienced that moments of deja vu, moments of synchronicity where you thinking about a person and that person calls you. It's not random. And the problem is with this is that, you know, science, as we know it, has reduced or made things so mechanistically showing that this universe is just, you know, atoms bouncing around. That comes from a Newtonian principles that there must be a force acting upon something. If something is invisible and you can't see a force acting upon something, then it's not science, right? If it can't be measured, then it's not science. Now, here's the thing. The evolution of quantum mechanics, quantum science, has kind of shown us that the world acts in a different way. That the universe is somewhat mental in a sense that it has a mind that functions like our mind. It has a consciousness that is naturally intelligent, which goes back to the first principle. And in that intelligence, there is an invisible force that brings order to the seemingly chaos that is happening in the world. For me, I think about simple things like gravity, right? It's invisible. Yes, the force can be measured. But what about planetary forces, right? The more I study astrology, and this is where, you know, many people disagree with me, is that when there is certain planetary activation in the sky, maybe it's a new moon, full moon, maybe it's an eclipse, maybe it's, you know, big planetary pairs are coming together, something tends to happen on Earth. A unique human experience starts to come through, and certain triggers in life starts to happen. This is interesting because the more I'm able to track and learn and see astrology with an open mind, everything starts to become meaningful. Every moment in life starts to become magical, or in my book, I call it this wonder and ordinary magic, is that something is invisible is bringing us together. And how we choose to adapt, experience, make choices out of it, brings us to a place that is either the same shit, the same old thing, and we are convinced that we're trapped and we never get out of that. Or if we make a choices from a higher space of consciousness, we lead down a new complete path of infinite possibilities. And that leads us to a place where we get closer to our true desire. So in evolutionary astrology, anything that we see in the chart, any queries that the client brings to me, I will show them that there's a higher evolutionary purpose behind all of this. Your ego is trying or moving towards a higher potential of your essential self. Now, this includes like moments of crisis, moments when you leave your job, maybe moments when you leave your relationships, all the painful, fearful, stressful circumstances of our life has a deeper meaning. And those deeper meaning, in a very strange way, is that the universe is designed and pushing us to evolve. So all of those things is not happening to us. is happening for us so that we can come back home to our unconditional fulfillment, happiness, freedom, bliss that had always been there all along. Now, it sounds like, wow, this universe is such a beautiful place. Then why are we all stuck in a time where there's so much problems, crisis, suffering, pain in the world, right? And I don't deny that. Perhaps, I don't know how much about human history, because there's probably a deeper history that is yet to be uncovered, rather than what's being spoken in the history books. I think that we have a longer human history. Right now, during this time, we have the most number of humans on Earth, the most number of souls on Earth. Hence, this moment right now, why is it so painful? Why is it so suffering? Is that we are preparing for a bigger leap that is coming. In many New Age communities, you might have heard that, you know, oh, Gaia is transforming. She's raising her consciousness. Gaia, meaning Mother Earth, is ready to evolve and take the next step. And for some reason, us humans are basically not following her rhythm or her direction. Hence, this is why we have so much suffering and pain, where this pain and suffering is not present. It's not something that is done upon us. We kind of did it to ourselves based on our limiting perspective of who we are and being so disconnected from nature and from our essence. So in a way, we are going through some form of ego death, some form of breakdown, collapse, so that the remembrance of our true essence starts to emerge. That's my take about why we're so suffering at this time. But at the same time, with all this pain and suffering comes a new potential, a new pressure for us to remember deeper of why we are here. Which brings me to the third principle that I want to share, is that evolution of consciousness does not happen in a lifetime. Our human life is too short to evolve so deeply. We don't evolve based on how much we know intellectually, but we evolve based on how mature, how emotionally intelligent we are, spiritually aware we are, how physically connected we are on our nervous system and our energetic system. The integral of all these aspects of our human being and our human system is what determines the evolution that we are in. So in the astrology chart, we cannot see how much a person is evolved. That is dependent on the astrologer, which is me at this point, and this perspective. It's up to me to understand how evolved someone is. And for me to see that is really not about how well this person can articulate spiritual things, but rather how integrated this person is with their subconscious shadow. That means how wholesome this person is. If this person is spiritually aware, but, you know, for some reason having so much physical disease and problems with their body, then, you know, there's some lessons here to work on. Up to today, I have not seen someone that is perfect. Everybody have a kink or a problem that is so specific in their chart. And we are all here to evolve. In this perspective, I don't think that even the spiritual leaders, I don't think that they are complete and completely enlightened. And because they are here, they have some work to do. They have more growth and evolution and greater enlightenment to be attained. Hence, you know, everybody, every human on earth are here to walk together in this beautiful journey of remembrance so that we can evolve. And again, you know, this takes lifetime. So rather than predeterministic about what we see in the chart, I see possibilities, I talk about possibilities, and it's up to the soul's free will to express the greater possibilities, the higher possibility more consciously. Or if they don't do the subconscious work, then they aren't able to express it. But with the map, right? Hence, astrology chart to me is a subconscious map. With the map, I can show you how you can really bring all the aspects of your subconscious back together and becoming more wholesome so that you can reach and express the essence within us. So within the chart, I cannot see how evolved a person is. So again, just emphasizing the fact that it's up to me to really gauge where someone is in their consciousness, which to me is, this is where astrology starts to become an art. And this is where I had to be accountable for my own evolutionary growth. I cannot help someone if I don't work on myself. Meaning, if I don't work on my own shadows, I wouldn't be able to understand people's shadow. And all of this is going to be reduced to just an intellectual pursuit. So I will say that, you know, evolutionary astrology and the practice of this is something that, first and foremost, that I have to do it with myself. I have to make it a living. I have to live and breathe astrology so that this is where the true service that I can have and give people can come through. Again, emphasizing that nothing is predeterministic here. So nothing is a guaranteed failure or a guaranteed success. It is up to the person or the soul, how much and how where, how willing he or she or it wants to evolve. So from this perspective, as you have listened with me throughout this episode, life is really about evolution. Remembrance is really about evolution. And when we think about evolution, it's really not about changing the essence of who we are, but changing the form of who we are. And the essence of who we are guides it. Let me give an example. If the ego is driving our life, making choices for us, we are bound to have and experience limitation. But if the essential self, the soul, is guiding, an evolved soul that is guiding, you know, the choices and the life that we live, then it starts to express the higher expression of it. And then from there, we can start tracking the cause, the relationship between cause and effect of what we're going to create. This shows me how beautiful astrology can be, how it can use practically to strategize when to launch a project, when to get married, when to express yourself and take the position of leadership, or when not to do that, when not to climb a mountain, when not to go for a swim. You know, things like as practical as that can be answered, and it could be really specific that sometimes it gets kind of scary of how symbolic and how picturalistic, you know, this can be. For the lack of a better word, I don't know how to put it, how the symbols just basically show itself in someone's life. It's so beautiful. I start to recognize that rather than being this person who tells you what you should be doing with your life, I get to be a spokesperson for the universe to translate what's going on in the world, in the environment, so that we can evolve to become the higher version of who we are, the best self, the higher self, the essential self. These are all synonyms. And when we can become that, I feel in my deepest, humblest way of expressing this, when we can be that, we can create an enlightened, beautiful world that we know is possible. I believe all of us have a gift that is so unique. And when we commit to express that through our purpose, through that gift, this world becomes what it needs to become. And rather than putting ourselves and limiting ourselves to just learning industrial skills so that we can practically survive in society and contribute to society, I believe the deeper gift that we have that is dormant within us, and when we can commit ourselves to express that thing, we don't just serve our society or our businesses. We start to serve nature. We start to serve and evolve with Gaia. We start to create this trophic cascading, which is such a beautiful phenomenon when we rise to leadership and take our spot in the circle of life. Trophic cascading is just basically the healing of everyone, the rejuvenation and regeneration of nature. And those of you interested to learn more about this phenomenon, trophic cascading, look in the show notes below. I'll put a really beautiful video for you to look at. And for me, just to summarize what this is something that has happened in Yellowstone in National Park, where they reintroduced the apex predator, at that time is wolves, to return to that space. And the reintroduction of the leaders and the apex predator in the environment leads to a complete rejuvenation and regeneration of the land that was once barren into a place where river starts flowing again. The diversity of animal that is inhabiting that environment starts again, to a point where the entire geographical landscape starts to shift into an ecosystem that is thriving. Hence, I believe that if individually all of us rise to this space of purpose, coming back to our essential self, the intelligence within us that is encoded with our gifts and purpose are able to create such powerful regeneration, not just in our health of our bodies, but it extends throughout our work, our career, and of course, all the relationships that we have, including our family, our loved ones, and our children. It's so powerful when we can rise up to that space and become the highest version of who we are. And for us to do that, we have to go through the subconscious mind. We have to go through the karma. We have to go through the pain, the stress, the fears that is self-created. And of course, was there for a purpose of protection, of survival. So it's not like it's a bad thing, you know, this ego. It's here to really help us adapt to the current situation of our environment. It is basically taking programs from what the environment is giving us. But we are not here to just be robots or somewhat an end product of our environment. I believe because we have a conscious soul, because we have a higher intelligence that exists within us, we can be the programmers of our genetics. We can be the programmer of how we choose to behave, act, and make choices. And hence, we are able to become a complete different identity if we choose so. And the identity that we are looking for is not like putting on masks and more personas, but becoming fully who we are that is authentic to our soul's expression. And when we have that confidence that those needs are being met, we can rise. And all the subconscious pain can become the catalyst to bring up the gift, just like a diamond is created out of pressure. That's the symbolism of it. Or the lead is transmuted through alchemy, it becomes gold. Not just do we feel greater within us, it starts to have this very natural desire to help others to do the same, to help others remember, to help others evolve and transform, build a community where we thrive with one another, where we see each other as each other rather than what we want to, or rather we see each other as expectations or commodity. You know, that's what's happening right now in our world. We start to create a more authentic world. And I think that is really possible. But again, it's not without going through the subconscious. And the problem with the subconscious is that it is invisible. And with the tool like astrology, we make the invisible visible. We show you how you can really tap into these innate gifts when no one in your conditioned environment or in your childhood environment or in your work environment was able to see. And along the years of practicing astrology, I think at this point is about 11 years since I formally gave my first reading to someone, I started having this natural ability. I won't say natural, but because it's trained and it's something that I've built on over the years, I have this ability to just see people's potential. And the training of astrology helped me to see the invisible as well, being more attentive and pay attention to my environment, like how are the birds behaving today? How is the sky and the clouds and how the clouds moving? how is the collective emotional experience happening. I basically was able to know things in advance, and with that, you know, I'm able to help people move through certain difficulties because I have the foresight. It's something that is developed, and I believe this is not something that I alone inherit. Maybe I have some talents of able to learn that quickly, but I believe that everybody are able to learn this. Astrology, again, on this perspective, is not just learning how to read, but you learn these transferable skills that can be used in other areas of your life. Here's what I want to close this episode with. I want to talk about the current eclipse that is happening. To give a little brief story and context to this is that I was born during an eclipse. In the birth story of this eclipse can be found in my book, Coming Home. The thing is, people who are born during eclipses have some kind of greater destiny, or at least they feel they do, because these people come from a past life where they did something meaningful or was in a position where they receive a lot of attention and recognition by the public. So it's natural that people who are born during eclipses in this life, they have this tendency of wanting to do great things again, to do something meaningful. And these people are just naturally moving towards the next evolution of their purpose and the greater version of who they are. But, you know, not all people who are born during an eclipse at this moment realize that. So sometimes they are stuck in their own environment, and hence they play out, dumb themselves down, hold themselves back, limit themselves to, you know, fit in to their current society. Now, I'm not going to go too much into what happened during my birth story of my eclipse. I mean, if you want to read this, it's vividly written in my book, Coming Home. But what I want to talk about is really the time or the cosmic weather of this time when this podcast is launched, right? We just experienced a total solar eclipse in Aries. If you're in the United States, I'm sure some of you are probably out there watching this beautiful phenomenon. And if you're not, you are probably going to experience so much sudden transitions, sudden interventions, because eclipse is a time where the evolution of our growth, of our soul, the remembrance is accelerated. This happens every year, twice a year, where the universe gets to reshuffle the cards and redo, realign certain things. And for that, as participants of the universe, we tend to feel, you know, being thrown up and down, left and right, to so many different directions, and we can feel emotionally overwhelmed. The more we resist it, the more it hurts. Here's where I'll say, you know, we have to learn to ride the wave and not passively, but actively participate and being attuned, being present as to what is going on emotionally, inside out, so that we can be present and make choices that is aligned to our calling. Because if we know how to write this actively, we get to co-create with the universe. We get to rewrite our karma. We are able to transform those stuckness that we felt inside of us so quickly. This is where the universe will help you accelerate, bring you those opportunities you're waiting for. But only if you lay the groundwork. Only if you're willing to move through and towards the pain, fear, and stress, seeing the meaning and the gifts behind it, and so that you are guided and filled by the purpose and the dharma within you. Eclipses is basically a huge reminder of, like, you're not just running programs. You are a human who has a divine intelligence inside of you that you can reprogram your life and make your life to move towards new possibilities, so that you can evolve again with Mother Nature. So the current eclipse is in the sign of Aries, right? Aries is really the first sign of the zodiac, meaning birthing new life, new beginning, initiating a new project, making a move. So whenever there's something new happening, there's always endings. There's always a collapse of the old. There is always letting go of structures, ways of being, rules, limiting beliefs that is like no longer coherent to the new desire or a new purpose that you have found. If you don't know what your new purpose and desire is because you have been living your life so automatically, maybe when you listen to this, you go like, shit, maybe I have a deeper thing that I need to uncover. Maybe the reason why I'm stuck in this situation is nothing to do with someone or something outside of me, but me, right? Aries has a lot to do with the self. And Aries has a lot to do, when this happens, has a lot to do with reinventing who you think you are so that you can become more and more authentic to the essence of who you are. Now, this eclipse in Aries is also accompanied by other bunch of planets in Aries, and one of them is Mercury that is retrograding during this eclipse. So anything to do with logistics, communication, new thinking, habit, your work environment, your health is going to be affected. I think all of us are impatient right now. But with Mercury retrograde, rather than having this feeling of like moving forward and taking to the next thing, it's really holding back. Some of us are somewhat repressive, but Mercury retrograde is saying you have to think before you jump and leap, which is counterintuitive for Aries. What I mean by that is not to just use your intellect to plan out goals, to figure things out in your head, because that is going to stress you even more. But instead, to clear your mind, maybe through meditation, through yoga, through going, being in nature, cleansing your energy so that you have a clarity of mind. Not to think, but instead to go deeper into your body so that you can tap into your instinctual knowing, your intuitive side of you. Mercury retrograde is showing you where in your life that is no longer authentic to you, no longer what you're passionate about, no longer fueling you to a place where you feel more alive and more empowered. It's calling you to make that change, make that move, have that difficult conversation. And if anything, this is a moment where we may cut ties with people. And my advice is that do that peacefully, do that gently, do that kindly, because everybody is going through a certain level of wounds. So Aries as well represents the masculine aspect of who we are, with Chiron, not me, but the asteroid and the Greek god, the wounded healer of Chiron. There is a wound that we need to tend to, and the wound has a lot to do with honoring and respecting the self, and as well, the wounded masculinity that is pervasive around the world. This leads me to think about leaders who are behaving that way, that using the method of overpowering someone, right? Power over. What we need to learn instead is to cultivate the softer aspect of leadership, which is compassion, which is rather than power over, it's power with. But to have that collaborative power with, we need to remember what it means to have the power within, to change and transform those limitations, those reactive behaviors that's living inside of us. Rather than those parts of us making choices for us, can we heal those wounds? Because any emotions that is unprocessed, any wounds that is unresolved within us, any trauma that is unhealed within us, it's going to affect the way we behave and choose and speak. And when reactive behaviors overpower us, instead of wanting to do what we truly wanted to do or behave, and despite our greatest intention, our most loving intention, we might still screw up because our deeper aspects of who we are aren't attended to. So this is where deep healing needs to happen. The healing that has to do with how we exert our will, most of us, if you are observing correctly, most of us are burnt out, tired, exhausted, and we are just trying to survive one day after another. When you're tired and exhausted, you're not going to be the best self. Your mind's not going to be clear. You're going to be more easily frustrated, impatient. That is going to affect the way you make choices, and that is going to create conflict with people, and that conflict is not something that you want, and you ended up going down this rabbit hole of creating more stress and pain and fear in your life. What does it mean for us right now to pause? I know Aries is not the sign for pausing, but the Chiron in Aries is saying, do you want to keep doing the same thing again and again, hustling and hustling, no pain, no gain until you drop? And it's so important to look at Mars in this case, because Mars is the ruling planet of Aries, and that's a clue. Mars is in Pisces right now and is in conjunction with Saturn. This is a sign to me that most of us will feel like we'll hit a roadblock or a wall in front of us and we don't even know why. The higher reason, the higher meaning here is that we need to forgive. We need to allow and let love in. Let people help us. Let the divine or the natural elements of life into our life. And to do that, we need to be present and be connected to the earth. Rather than thinking that we need to be highly independent, highly competitive, survival, push and push through everything. Mars in Pisces conjunct Saturn is saying there is an easier way to do this. There is a realignment of maybe your goal and purpose so that you don't burn yourself out doing that. Maybe there's a better way to do this, because Mars and Saturn is really about the right actions that will actually get there. It's not about sheer will anymore. It's about reconnecting to the spiritual essence of who you are. It's about seeing people as people, to seeing that everybody is suffering just like you. Everybody's in pain just like you. So if you don't want to contribute, if you're not contributing healing, you can at least not contribute more conflict. That doesn't mean, again, that we become avoidant, passive, or spiritual bypass all the problems in our life. No, it's not about that. Rather, it's actively being present, opening our hearts again and again to love and compassion, rather than caving in, rather than fighting, avoiding, or freezing, being completely apathetic or indifferent. We are here to be present. If you want to summarize all this thing that I've just spoken about, this eclipse is really about loving yourself unconditionally. And in the process of doing that, you can love others unconditionally. And instead of making enemies of everyone around you, it's about remembering and finding that camaraderie, friendship, brotherhood, sisterhood that is within all of us. That very paradigm of power over has to stop now. And the only way to change that is not fixing anybody. It's not making problems go away. Instead, it is about recreating a new possibility that it's so powerful that makes everything of the old obsolete. So we need to lead by example. It's not all talk. We need to soften our front so that we have an open heart. We need to find integrity and have strong back, strong values, strong boundaries, right? And that we need to remember the wild child, the wild creative heart that we have. This is what this eclipse is calling for. So now that you have a little taste of what of a time we're in right now, I invite you to contemplate and reflect on your life and where you are in your life that needs this kind of change or this kind of lessons to integrate. It could be your relationship, it could be your career, it could be your health, it could be your personal hobbies and your personal empowerment, it could be your relationship with spirituality. It really depends on how this eclipse are positioned in your own natal birth chart. So I want to take this opportunity to share that I do have a promotion this April of giving readings for you, 60 minutes and 90 minutes, depending on where you are and what you want out of this reading. I have a promotion of giving 40% discount to all of us who is looking to get clarity in this aspect. And I intentionally chose this time to give such promotion because I know this is such an intense time where all of us have so many moving parts and we're just trying to get ourselves together. So rather than doing all of this yourself, why not, you know, invest in a reading for yourself to see, help yourself see the invisible, just like how previous astrologers guides who were able to show me my path. What I truly believe, though, is that if you commit and choose the path of remembrance, the path of evolution, the path of transforming your ego into your essence, it does not matter what happens on the outside. It does not matter what planets are expecting your chart or what triggers you. You will still find a way to take those moments and come out on top because you finally develop the skills, the eyes, the perspective, the mindset to take in those pain, fear, and stress or your humanness, suffering, and experience to the highest possible expression. You'll take those lessons, you'll evolve, and you'll come out on top, and you'll make those breakthroughs, and you'll inspire so many people around you, and of course, contribute to creating this beautiful world we know is possible, and evolve with Gaia to a more peaceful planet, to a more loving planet, deeper and more meaningful relationships, and a life where we can live and breathe our passion. So those of you tuning in to this episode, I thank you, and I hope you're inspired of how astrology can help you remember your greatest and deepest truth. Infinite love and gratitude. Thank you for listening to this show. Follow my journey by subscribing to the show on your favorite podcast listening app. May you be blessed with wonder and ordinary magic in your journey of remembrance. I will see you in the next episode. Take care.